Morning, everyone. We deeply appreciate the Lupin Foundation, Michael and Esti Lupin, for sponsoring the Daf Yomi. The learning that we do is going to be in memory of Louis Lupin Saltzman. The Daf, today's Daf Memches, we are on Mem Zayin Amud Beis, and we are talking about the Chafina, talking about the Kohen Gadol taking his hands and putting it into the Ketores in order to take a handful of Ketores. I say a handful, I don't mean one handful, I mean two handfuls. The description we had yesterday was where the Kohen Gadol takes his two hands and then inserts them into the Ketores and lifts it up and is going to bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, as a practical issue, in other words, the Torah does not demand from that point forward that the Ketores goes into any other kli, and not a kli shavres. But in other words, there's a practical issue, and that is that the Kohen Gadol can only go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim but one time, and he's got to go in with the Ketores, and he's got to go in with a shovel full of fire. So how does he do it? So as we learned yesterday, so what he's going to do is he's going to transfer the Ketores into a spoon, and then he's going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then what he's going to do is he's going to bring the Ketores back from the spoon back into his hands. That's going to be a difficulty. The Gemara notes yesterday's daf, and we're going to see it in tomorrow's daf, that's going to be one of the more difficult avodas done by any Kohen at any point in time, the topic of discussion has been and will continue to be the Chafina, the Kohen Gadol taking his hands and putting it into the Ketores. Yesterday we spoke a little bit about Kemitza, and it's similar. Not the same, but it's similar. Now, Kemitza is done by a mincha. When you have a mincha made up of flour oil, so the Kohen, here in this case, doesn't have to be the Kohen Gadol. In other words, the mincha is a regular mincha offered at any point in time. It could be offered either as an obligation or it could be offered voluntarily. But a mincha, the Kohen also has to do what's called kemitza. Kemitza is where the Kohen takes his one hand, puts it into the flour, and takes a fistful of it in order to burn it on the top of the mizbeah. We'll talk more about it this morning as well. So there too, the idea is that the Kohen is going to take his hand, put it in, as we learned yesterday, take the three middle fingers, not the thumb, not the pinky, take the three middle fingers, cup it over his hand, so that now he's only going to be capturing that which can fit into the tube of that hand, to the palm of his hand, take his hands out, and he's going to then to go to the top of the mizbeach and burn that kemitza on top of the mizbeach. Everything remaining in the bowl is what's called shirayim, that's left over. And under most circumstances, the Kohen is going to be eating the shirayim. The shirayim has the status of Kodesh Kedashim, can only be eaten in the Azara, in the base of Mikdash. Fine, that's the kemitza. And what we'll be doing yesterday, what we did yesterday, and what we'll be doing today is a lot of comparative, meaning we're going to compare the Ketores to the kemitza. There are similarities and there are also differences. Basic similarities, basic differences. Okay.
Symbolism of why we're doing that today.
I'm sure there's a pshat. I don't know. The Gemara elsewhere says that every finger has an identity and has a halachic purpose to it. So like we saw yesterday, the pinky. So the halachic purpose of the pinky is that under certain circumstances, you're going to need that pinky to shave off whatever's coming out of your hand. Now, if it's just flour, we said this yesterday. If it's just flour, so the flour will just fall away, and all you'll be left with is what's in the palm. But if it's not flour, if it's already fried. We learned yesterday that certain menachos before the kemitza are fried, right? And some of them are actually baked as well. But the marcheshes, the machvas is thin frying, marcheshes is deep frying. So those are fried. So basically what you're holding in your hand is a pancake, and you're doing kemitza on a pancake. Now, it is broken up into pieces, but still, it's very challenging to do kemitza on pieces of pancake. You put your hands in, you take it out. They're going to be parts of it sticking out. So you take your thumb, and you shave off this side. And you take your pinky, you shave off this side. And once again, the Gemara noted yesterday, that's difficult. That's just, it's not easy. Okay, we're in the Gemara 1 Mem Zayin Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're starting at the two Dabs by Rav Papa. Okay, Hedy, I'm going to warn you today. The Gemara is going to ask a lot of questions, and most of today's questions will go unresolved. The Gemara, you will see the word teku come up in today's daf. Now, it's a short daf today, but I don't know if there's another daf in Shas that has as many tekus as today's. So, it's good that you're prepared. By Rav Papa, the Rav Papa asked the following question. Now, again, one more review from yesterday's daf so that we can continue with today. What did we discuss yesterday? The Beina Binayim. The Beina Tzbosaf. So remember yesterday we talked about the kemitza and the flour on the inside, that has the status of kemitza. The flour on the outside, that has the status of shirayim. Okay, what about the flour that gets caught between the fingers? What status does that have? So yesterday's daf concluded, we don't know. We simply do not know what the status is between the fingers. The Gemara yesterday referred to it as suffik. What do we do with the suffik? What do we do with these tiny particles of flour that may be kamitsa, may be shirayim? So yesterday we learned in the daf, what you're going to do is, and it doesn't work according to everybody, but what you'll do is that first you'll burn the kamitsa, meaning everything interior in your palm, you'll burn that as kamitsa, and then those particles that got stuck between your fingers, you'll burn that as well. If it's shirayim, you're not allowed to burn it. The shirayim cannot be burnt. It must be consumed by the kohen. Cannot be burnt on the mizbech. That's a lav in the Torah, as we learned yesterday. So the Gemara says what you'll do is you'll put it up on the mizbech and burn it l'shem etzim, not l'shem reich nichalach. The Gemara noted yesterday that only works according to Rabbi Eliezer. That does not work according to the Chachamim. And yesterday, if you remember, was a somewhat comical way the Gemara ended yesterday. I mean, not comedy, but it's funny. The Gemara says, get a fat kohen. Get a fat cone with fat fingers, and if you do that, you will avoid the whole problem. Because I could see area between my fingers. So the Gemara says what you want is a cone where you cannot see any area between the fingers, so you simply won't have that problem. He'll do the kmitza, and he'll simply have no room between his fingers. That's what the Gemara said yesterday. The Gemara says that's preferred. That was the conclusion from yesterday. Good. Now that we did yesterday, now let's move to today's daf by Rav Papa. Now we turn to the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, where he's also going to be doing a scooping, but here it's not a scooping of the flour, it's a scooping of the Ketores, so they can walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And now there are particles of a Ketores that are between his fingers. What's the status? So the Gemara says, first of all, if there's a Gzeira Shava, as we pointed out yesterday, if there's a Gzeira Shava, it's a funny way to phrase a sentence, meaning there is or there isn't. The Gemara says, if there's a Gzeira Shava, so I pointed this out yesterday, I don't have any better clarity today. I don't know why the Gemara is entertaining, maybe there's a Gzeira Shava, but if there is one, so whatever we said regarding the Kamitza, we're going to have to say regarding the Chafina. So, Hainuach. Papa Achibayle, Melochafna, Vehevi Beinan, Vahaika, Odilma Vilakach, Vehevi Beinan, Vahaleka. So the Gemara says, no, the question over here is a slightly modified question. It's not exactly the same question. Because regarding the Chafina, the Torah says, Vilakach. Right? You have to take it. Meaning that when you take the Ketores, there has to be an active taking. Any of the particles of Ketores that find between your fingers, you didn't specifically take them. Now, in other words, not with intent, not with consciousness. It happened to have gotten stuck between your fingers, but that's not a lakicha. Perhaps the only Ketores that has status is that which is in your palm, because that was taken with intent. And the Gemara says, and we learned that from the word velakach. So the Gemara says, okay, that's the question. And now that we lay the question on the table, the Gemara says, I don't know. Meaning, it could very well be that the Ketores particles that are stuck between the Kohen Gadol's fingers doesn't have status. It could be that it does have status. And the Gemara says, just put this in the list of questions of we're going to ask Eliyahu HaNavi. Amar Rav Papa Pshita Li Malokum So Kidekamsa Inshi. Now, in terms of Kemitza, how is Kemitza done? So the Gemara says, you know how it's done? Look around. Now, for us, it's a funny sentence. Look around. I mean, how many people are doing kmitza nowadays? But if we can envision what's the normal way to do kmitza, that's how kmitza was done in the Beis Hamikdash regarding the Kohanim. Again, kmitza, remember, kmitza is talking about the mincha. Okay, well, there are two words that we're going to keep flipping between, and that's kmitza and that's chafina. Kmitza is regarding a mincha, and chafina is regarding the Kohen Gadol and the Ketores. So the Gemara says, how do you do kmitza? Kidekamsi inshi, like people do it. So again, this is, I know for the people here, you have the visual aid. For the people listening, you don't. So, sorry. But basically, in other words, you take your palm with the pinky down and you go right into the flour and you scoop. Okay, that's the standard way of doing kmitza. Well, essentially what the Gemara is going to ask, and the Gemara is going to ask it many different ways, but it's essentially the same question. What if I do it any other way? Would it be okay, in other words, by kmitza, is it just simply that I get a fistful of flour, or does there have to be a certain process that you have to follow, and only that process will be the correct way in doing so? So the Gemara gives a number of different examples. By Rav Papa comes Barashi Yetzbosav Mahu. So question number one of Rav Papa. What if I go fingers down, meaning I don't go the side of my hand like a karate chop into the flour, but I go fingers down into the flour and eventually scoop out the kamitza. Is that going to work? Malamata Lamala Mahu. What if I go, instead of going karate chop down, I basically drop my hand wrist down into the flour? And again, I'll scoop out that way. Minatzdad Mahu. Rashi explains Minatzdad means like this. Basically, I take my hand, I put it on top of the flour, and I shake my hand to basically drown my hand into the flour and then scoop it out. Is that going to be acceptable? Teiku, the Gemara says, on all these questions, Teiku, I don't know. Again, the question, I know it's three questions, but it's really one question. When the Torah demands that the Kohen does kmitza, does it have to specifically be done the normal way that kmitza is done, or is there an alternative way where if he arrived at the same conclusion, a fistful of flour, is that going to be fine? Gemara says, I don't know. Take it. So when you have a take, well, first of all, a take over here by Karbanos, I didn't look up the Rambam, let's start off there, but when we have a take by Karbanos, meaning we're not forced into a position where we have to answer, unfortunately. But in other words, there's no, you know, in halacha, hilchas Shabbos and hilchas, you know, brachos. In other words, a teiku over there needs an answer. So here, you know, I'm be honest, I didn't look it up, but I would venture to say, let's imagine now we were to determine the halacha. So I would say simply do it the normal way. Now, if you do it another way, would it work? So I don't know. The Gemara asked the question.
The Rambam says it's b'di'evet.
B'di'evet. Okay. How do you arrive at that conclusion? I guess I have to look it up. Okay, Rav Papa. So Amar Rav Papa pshitali malo chafnav kidechafne inshi. Now we're gonna move the conversation to chafina, but it's essentially gonna be the same questions. We're just no longer talking about kmitza. We're talking about chafina. So again, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, where he's gonna take his two hands. Now again, the normal way to do it. So the Gemara doesn't give a description. The Gemara just simply says kidechafne inshi. Well, you know, just how people do it. So again, the goal is to get two handfuls of Keter. So if you and I were to guess, basically we would say, take your two hands and karate chop both of them into the Keteris and then bring them together and then lift. Okay, that's how I would envision Chafina's done. And by Rav Papin, so now Rav Papin's going to ask the same series of questions. Chafan Barashi Yetzbo Sav Mahu, what if I do it with my fingertips? In other words, the Kohen Gadol is going not side, but going tip down into the Keteris. Malamat Lamala Mahu, what if he goes wrist down into the Keteris? Minatzad Mahu, what if once again he takes his hands and he puts down the Keteris and he kind of moves it back and forth quickly so that it drops down into the Keteris? Is that going to be acceptable? So Chafan Bazu Ubazu Vikarvan Zu Eitzel Zu. Here's a new question which we couldn't have asked by Kmitza, because Kmitza is only done with one hand. But what by the Chafina, what if I do like this? A scoopful of Keteris in one hand, a scoopful of Keteris in the other hand, and then take them out, and then put them together. Is that going to be work? Is that going to work? So Teiku, the Gemara, once again, leaves these questions unresolved. We don't know. By Rav Papa. We're now on the top of Memches Amud Aleph. Davke l'kometz bedofne demana mai. What if I take the Kmitza and I put it on the side of the Kli Sharis? Now, just again, let's take a step back. Let me just give a couple words of introduction. Okay, the Kmitza, we'll see this a couple times over the course of today. So let's introduce this idea now. The Kmitza that's done is very similar to a carbon in that there are four steps. Okay, now by a carbon, we're talking about an animal. We're talking about the shechting of an animal and the accepting of the blood into a bowl, walking the bowl over to the Mizbech and sprinkling the blood onto the Mizbech. Okay, so let's put that into halachic terminology. There's shechita, step one. There is kabbalas adam, receiving the blood in a bowl, step two. There is holacha, walking it over to the mizbeach, step three. And zrikas adam, sprinkling of the blood. Those are the four critical avodas of an animal, of a karban. Now let's talk about a mincha, flower offering. So there are four corresponding avodas. Now obviously, we're not curtailing the life of the mincha offering, but here's what we do. Number one, kmitza. That's similar to shechita, right? You have to, a little imagination, a little creativity, but if you see it, meaning just like by shechita, we're basically removing part of the animal to bring to the mizbech, so by kmitza, we're removing some of the mincha. Okay, so that's step one, and that's kmitza, and that's similar to shechita. Then there's kabbalas adam. Here's a good one. I mean, this is the one we're focusing on right now. Then there's Kabbalas Adam, taking the blood into a bowl. So how do I receive the kmitza into a bowl? It's very simple. After having taken a fistful of flour, then you take that fistful of flour and you put it into another kli sharis. And that's a necessary part of the process. That's not just simply a pragmatic issue. That is an avoda, taking the kmitza and putting it into another bowl. Then I take that bowl of kometz, I walk over to the mizbeach, then I burn the kmitza on the top of the mizbeach. So the halacha is same, that's an exact parallel. And then instead of zrikas adam, the sprinkling of the blood, so when it comes to the kmitza, there is haktaras hakometz, the burning of the kometz on the top of the mizbeach. Okay, so the four avodas that are by shechita, with the four parallel avodas by kmitza, by mincha. Fine. The Gemara now wants to know the following. In the second avoda, where by an animal the blood would be going into the bowl. Now, just by simple laws of physics, the blood's going to drop to the bottom of the bowl, right? That's just how gravity works, and the bowl therefore is going to capture the blood where the bowl's on the bottom. Gemara wants to know, in the world of kmitza, if I take the kmitza, now it's sticky, it's flour and it's oil, and I stick it to the side of the bowl, is that acceptable, or no? Does it have to be placed into the bottom portion of the bowl, similar to the blood going into the bowl? So davke lekometz, that's the Gemara's question over here on the top of Mem Ches Amud Aleph. Davke lekometz bedofne demana mai tochli beinan vaeika. Look, did it go into the interior of the bowl? Yes, it did. So maybe we get a check. Odil mahanacha besoch kitikuno beinan vahaleka. Or no? Does it have to be a placement? And a placement is defined by being put into the bottom of the bowl. And the Gemara says, and here you don't have it because it's only placed on the side. Teku. Once again, this question is left unresolved. So the Gemara says, how about this? It's a really similar question. But I take the bowl. Again, we're back to kmitza. And we're talking about now the placement of the kometz into a kli sharis, right? The Kabbalah portion of the mincha. So, but here's what I do. I take the bowl, I flip it upside down, I take the kometz, and I put it into the bowl, and I stick it to the floor of the bowl. Now again, it's sticky, it's flour and oil, so it sticks to the bottom of the bowl. So it is on the bottom of the bowl, but the bottom of the bowl is on the top. Okay, everyone understand? Say the inversion. So by Ramar Baravashi, afchala mana v'davkula kometz be'arase demana. So mahu hanacha besocha beinan va'ika. So do I have a hanacha? Yes. It's placed on the bottom of the bowl. But odil mahanacha kitikuno beinan. But on the other hand, the bowl's upside down. So this is not the normal way that's done, meaning this wouldn't have worked by blood. In other words, you try this by blood. Try putting the blood into an upside down bowl. It's not going to take. So the Gemara says, here too, it's just simply not going to take. Teku. And the Gemara says, okay, I don't know. Meaning, I don't know if this is going to be an acceptable way of placing the kmitza into the kli sharis. By Rav Papa, Malochaf Navsha Amru Mechukos Gedushos. Another question by Rav Papa. Hedy, how are you doing so far today? By Rav Papa, Malochafnav Beinan, I'm sorry, Malochafnav She'amra Mechukos O Gedushos. Okay, next question of the Gemara, the Malochafnav, again, Chafina, Kohen Gadol, Yom Kippur, Ketores. Okay, he now scoops out the two scoops of the Ketores. Is it Mechuka or is it Gedusha? Okay, now what do those terms mean? Mechuka, leveled. Now, I don't know who's leveling it, meaning that's, again, talk about unbelievable dexterity, meaning after having take the scoops out with his hands to level. Now, maybe the thumb, kind of like a windshield wiper over the top, maybe. Maybe somebody else is coming and leveling it off. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how we would do it, but the Gemara's question is, does it have to be leveled? Or, the Gemara asks, does it have to, or can it be gedusha? A heaping pile over the top. The Gemara says, here, we got it. Amalei Rabbi Abla Ravashi Tashma. Okay, so for the first time in today's daf, we're going to answer a question. So the Gemara's answer is neither. No, not leveled, not gedusha, not a heaping on the top, but tefufa. Tefufa, Rashi explains, means basically a small head over the top. Right, you know, by liquids, there's a certain viscosity by liquid so that the liquid's going to be just a little bit over the top. Now, this is not a liquid. These are particles of of spices that were ground up and ground up very well. But in other words, a little bit over the top of his palms, but you're not going to make a mound over the top. Tanan Hasam. Okay. We're going to learn together now a Mishnah in Zvachim. Now, the Mishnah in Zvachim is off topic, but you'll see, after learning the Mishnah in Zvachim together, we're going to bring it back to the discussion of Kemitza and Chafina. Nishpach Adam al Aritzba v'asvo paso. Okay. I shech the carbon. We're talking about just the standard carbon in the base. The Mikdash, I shech it. So what's going to happen after Shechita? Blood's going to come out. That's Dam HaNefesh. That's the blood we want. That's the blood that's going to be, we're going to capture into a bowl and we're going to do Zrikas Adam with that blood. And what happens? Cohen, the second Cohen wasn't ready. Okay, poor communication between the Cohen who's shechting and the Cohen who's accepting the blood. And the pitcher catcher was, you know, they got confused on their signs. And shechting was done, but the blood went right on the floor. Okay? So do you cry over spilled blood? In this case, you do. Yeah, absolutely do. In other words, because once the blood goes directly onto the floor from the neck of the animal, so, fafalan, did I say correctly? Okay, fine. Okay. My Yiddish is not, it's not terrible, it's non-existent. So it's no good. So, fine. So that's the nishbach adam al-ritzba v'aspa pasal. So that's no good. It simply doesn't work. It's a lost carbon. So the minakli al-ritzba v'aspa kasher. However, if the blood was collected in a kli sharis, and then after collecting into kli sharis, then somebody drops and spills on the floor, then you can pick it up and you can collect it. Okay, and that's fine. So in other words, the kabbalas adam has to have been done, but after the kabbalas adam, if for whatever reason it drops on the floor and it spills, you can simply pick it up. I mean, it's blood, but basically scoop it up and put it back into the bowl and head to the mizbeach and finish the avoda with the zrikas adam. Minan emilus to the Gemara. That's a Mishnah. That's a Mishnah in Zvachim. So again, we're just as like almost like an introduction to the Gemara's question. So the Gemara in its introduction says, by the way, how do we know this? Minan emilus de tana rabbanim v'lakach midam apar. So you accept from the dam apar. You have to accept the blood from the bowl. Midam nefesh v'lo midam or v'lo midam tamtzis. So first of all, which blood? Life blood. It cannot be dam or, meaning a superficial cut on the skin. That's not acceptable. Dam tamtzis is after the animal's dead. So there's still blood in the animal. You could squeeze the blood out of the animal, but that's dam nefesh. That's not dam nefesh. Dam nefesh is the blood that comes out as the animal's life is being expired, extinguished. Okay, that's dam nefesh. So, meaning the blood that comes out immediately after the shechita. So, mi dam hapar, dam me hapar yikablenu. Now, mi dam hapar means that it has to be received directly from the animal, meaning it has to go from animal to the kli sharis. Now, did you see how this last drasha worked? It's a little tricky. You got to look carefully. Mi dam hapar. The pasuk says mi dam hapar, and what's the drasha? Dam me hapar. You see what just happened? We took the mem from the word midam, cut it out, and put it in the beginning of the word hapar. So it's not midam hapar, but it's dam mehapar. Dam mehapar yikablanu disakadacha midam hapar. So midam vafilam mixas dam. So the Gemara says, and you cannot translate the words literally. Because if I just left the words as it is, midam hapar, it means some of the blood. I don't need all the blood. But that's factually incorrect. That when you do Kabbalah Sadam, you have to accept all the blood. Now again, all the life blood. In other words, not the entirety of the blood of the animal, but all the life blood. Meaning as that blood is rushing out, as the life of the animal is being extinguished, so that's the blood that you need to collect, and you need to collect all of it, not just some of it. The Torah says, kol dam hapar, the entire blood of the animal. Now again, we're qualifying. The Torah does say the word dam by itself, and we are qualifying, but it's a qualifier. It means the life, all the lifeblood of the animal is to collect it on the mizbeach. But what do you see from here? That you can't say mi dam hapar means some of the blood. Can be, because we have another pasuk that says clearly that it has to be kol dam. So therefore, what are we going to do with the mem before the word midam apar? We're going to take it, cut it. No, I mean, we're not doing anything. Meaning, this is all part of the mesorah. So you take the mem, you cut it out, and you move it over to the word mehapar, and so it's dam mehapar. And that comes to tell us that the blood has to go from the animal to the kli sharis. And if it doesn't make that transfer, it's no good. Right. In other words, what that's the right question. Meaning, what's the Torah trying to communicate by you know, I'll say it because it's, you know, it's partially true, by misrepresenting, right, what the real intent of the Torah is. Good. That's the right question. I don't have a good answer. And I'm sure there's one. But I don't have a good one. Elish Mamina, my may dam apar dam may apar yikablenu. And the Kasava Gorna Mosifim Vidarshan. And the Gemara says this is a method. This is a method of Drush. This is the method called Gorna Mosifim Vidarshan. Now, we may not all be familiar with this method because it's not one of the 13 Midrashot or Nidreshos by him. It didn't make its way into Rabbi Yishmael's Braisa. So we don't see it every day. So, but it's a method. And basically, I mean, it's just a fancy way of saying we have the ability to cut out a letter. Again, I have to imagine that this is only done with Misora. Otherwise, I mean, the possibilities are endless. But you take a letter from one word and you put it to another word, and gorin umosifin, you take away and you add, and you darshan. Fine. So the Gemara says, again, all this is by way of introduction. What have we learned? That when you do Kabbalah Sadam, it has to be directly from the animal into the Kli Sharis. If it goes from the animal to the floor, it's pasul. It's fafalin, you have lost this carbon. If it goes from the animal to the Kli Sharis and then gets built on the ground, that's okay. That's recoverable. By Rav Papa, now with all that in mind, so now here's our question of the day. Now, it's not our question of the day. We have today a lot of questions. But by Rav Papa now asks the following question. Right? Is Rav Papa really responsible for every question today's daf? More or less. Yeah. So, by Rav Papa, Nispazer Ketoris Mimloch Chafnav Mahu. Let's say the Ketoris spreads out from the Mimloch Chafnav. So, Yado Kitsavra Behema Dame Upsula Odilma Kiklisharis Dame Velopsula. Okay, here's a really big question for today. See, when the Kohen Gadol does his chafina on Yom Kippur, so there's no klisharis requirement. Meaning what happens, his hands goes into the Ketoris, and then from that point going forward, he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he lays out the Ketoris over the coals. Now, as we learned in yesterday's daf, right, as we learned in yesterday's daf, now there is a transfer into a spoon, meaning that the Ketoris goes into a spoon, but that's not required, that's just simply pragmatic. As we learned in yesterday's daf, the Kohen Gadol has to get into the Kodesh Kodashim while with the Ketoris and the Machta Shel Gacholim. He needs a shovel full of coals, of hot coals, and he needs a Ketoris. There's just simply no way that he can walk in while having his two hands filled with Ketoris. So he transfers it over to a spoon, so he holds the spoon in his left hand, and he holds the shovel in his right hand. Fine. But that's just pragmatic. There's no requirement to take the Ketoris and to put it into a Kli Sharis. Good. So now the question of the day, not the question, but one of the questions of the day is as follows. How do we view his hands? His hands now are basically going to be the receptacle for the Ketoris. So are his hands, in other words, let's look at this analogy. We have the blood coming out from the neck of the animal. Okay. Now, the blood goes from the neck of the animal to the floor. What do we say? No good. If the blood goes from the Kli Sharis onto the floor, that's okay. Right? Now, think about it. This is essentially what the Gemara is asking. The hands of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur vis-a-vis the Ketoris, is that like the neck of the animal? Or is it like a Kli? The difference is, halachically, what if it drops out of his hands and it falls on the floor? Can he now pick it up? If his hands are like the neck of an animal, so then, no good. It's like the blood coming out from the neck of the animal and dropping right to the floor. If his hands have the status of a Kli Sharis, so then we're fine. Then that would be analogous to the blood coming out of the Kli Sharis, falling onto the floor, and just simply pick it up and put it back in again. So that's the question. And the reason why it's a question is because on Yom Kippur, vis-a-vis the Kohen Gadol, there is no Kli. So basically his hands may take on the role of a Kli Sharis. Now you'll notice that the Gemara did not ask this question regarding Kemitza. Didn't need to ask this question regarding Kemitza. Why? Because there's a fundamental difference. By Kemitza, what happens? Step two of Kemitza is that after taking the flour, he has to put it into a Kli Sharis. So there, by Kemitza, the hand is certainly not substituting the bowl. Because what's happening now with that flour is going to be deposited into a Kli Sharis. So the transfer from the mincha from the original mincha into the second bowl, that's like the blood going from the neck of the animal into the bowl. So that's why the Gemara does not entertain this question by kamitza. It's only a question regarding chafina, because by chafina there is no bowl requirement. Okay, Gemara answers this question. No, we move on. Okay, by Rav Papa. No, I'm sorry, I did that. So kiklishar zame velopsula teku by Rav Papa. Chisha bechafina is ketaras mahu. Okay. Kohen Gadol, the whole machshava of pigul, right? You always wonder what the motivation is. It's always hard to ascertain what a Kohen's motivation would be. Pigul, as we all know, is when the Kohen says, "You see this carbon that I'm doing right now? I'm shafting it. I'm doing kabbal sadam. I'm doing holach. I'm doing zrika." During one of the four avodas, he makes the following declaration, and let's assume that has to be verbalized. Otherwise, we're going to have to turn it to mind readers, and he verbalizes the following. I'm going to eat this animal. Let's say it's an edible carbon. It's a chatas, it's a shlamim. I'm going to eat the carbon beyond its prescribed time. Okay? It's a shlamim. I eat it, it's edible today and tomorrow. I can't wait to eat it 3 days from now. Okay? That is pigul. It renders the animal pigul. Now, an animal, once it's rendered pigul, now again, the halachas of pigul do go on, and the Gemara in Zvachim, we spend a lot of time with pigul, but basically, if the animal successfully turns into pigul, so then eating the animal, eating kazayas of pigul, is a kares incurring prohibition. Serious. In the meantime, however, the Gemara over here wants to know, is there a pigul concept when it comes to chafina? Meaning the Kohen Gadol now says, again, I can't understand his motivation, does not sound like a, you know, it's so counter, whatever. It's the Kohen Gadol would have to be nuts to say this. But what if he said, I can't wait to, as he's doing the kamitza, and I, again, using the wrong word, as he's doing the chafina, he says, I'm going to burn this tomorrow. Now, tomorrow is the day after Yom Kippur. It's obviously beyond the allotted time. Is there a pigul concept when it comes to the chafina sakataris? So, mi amrina yalef melo melo mi mincha, mahasa mahanya ba machshava, hachana mi mahanya ba machshava, olam. So do we learn the Gzeir Shava, or do we not learn the Gzeir Shava? By a mincha, there's absolutely pigul. Rashi points out over here. I mean, it's clear from the Gemara. But Rashi quotes the Gemara in Menachos. Yeah. Daf Pei Gimel. So Rashi quotes Gemara Menachos. We know this pigul by mincha. Because again, as we discussed already a number of times today, the avodas that are done by mincha correspond to the avodas done by a karban. And by a karban, there's a pigul concept. So by mincha, there's a pigul concept as well. But again, we want to know, does it also translate to the ketores? So that when he's doing the chafina by the ketores, is there a pigul concept? So, Amalei Rav Shimi Bar Ashi L'Rav Papa Tashma. So the Gemara says here, I think I have an answer. So here, so a rare moment in today's daf where we're going to answer one of our questions. So Tashma, host of Rabbi Akiva, we're learning now a Mishnah in Idios. The Mishnah in Idios found at the end of Seder Nezikin, we don't do Masechta Idios in the Daf Yomi cycle. It's only Mishnayos, there's no Gemara attached to it. Why wasn't it included in the Daf Yomi? One of my unanswerable questions. But anyway, this is the eighth parak of Idios, and the Mishnah over there records. Host of Rabbi Akiva. Hakitaris, halavona, hagachalim, shimnaga tful yom bemiksasam, pasal es kulam. If I have kitaris, right, the incense, or the lavona, that's the frankincense that is accompanying the lechem upon him. And the gachalim are coals, if a tful yom, is somebody who is tameh, toveled in the mikvah, but didn't go through Harif Shemesh, he is generally speaking, we call him a sheni latoma. So, if they were to touch a bowl full of any of these items, it will all become tummy. Now, what's the common denominator with all these items? These are all particle items. Ketores, particles of incense. Lavona, particles of frankincense. Gachalim, pieces of coal that are in one bowl. Now, the Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga says that if it's in one single bowl, even as it's fully on, I'm touching one part of the content. But all I'm doing is touching these particles. The particles on the other side should become tameh as well. The Gemara in Chagiga says yes. Okay, the kli is mitzaref. Well, because they're in a bowl together, the bowl unifies everything together so that all will become tameh. Fine. It's a halacha of kli mitzaref. That's fine. What do we gain from this mission in Adio? So the Gemara now takes us through the step-by-step process. So now the Gemara is going to basically take a couple of leaps, a couple of logical steps. Well, if it's subject to the psul of Tvul Yom, it's also going to be subject to the psul of Lina. Okay, Lina means if I left it overnight. So that, in other words, after having gone to a Kli Sharis, it has to be applied today. It cannot be applied tomorrow. If I leave it overnight, it's subject to the psul of Lina. Umidalina pasla, pasla nami machshava. Well, that means then that it has an expiration date. So if it has an expiration date vis-a-vis Lina, it's also going to have an expiration date b'machshava as well. Meaning that if the Kohen Gadol were to consider and say that I'm going to burn this tomorrow beyond its prescribed time, that's also going to make it pasul as well. So we have, follow the bouncing ball, we have a Mishnah Nedios that says that Ketores is subject to the psul of Tvul Yom. We're then going to assume that if it's subject to Tvul Yom, it's also subject to the psul of Lina. And then we're going to make a third jump, or a second jump, I should say. Well, if it's subject to the psul of Lina, it's also going to be subject to the psul of Machshava. Right? A more in-depth analysis of this discussion, by the way, comes out of Rashi, where Rashi wonders, Rashi with his Bekiyas, I don't remember this Mishnah Me'ila, Rashi says, I don't quite frankly understand, I understand the Gemara's conclusion, but Rashi says, but we have a Mishnah Me'ila. And the Mishnah Me'ila could have cut out a step, because the Mishnah Me'ila says that if I have Ketores, Ketores is subject to the psul of Lina. So Rashi just wonders out loud, why is our Gemara quoting the Mishnah Adios, which is going to require us to make two jumps, when all we have to do is just quote the Mishnah Me'ila, and then all we need to do is make one jump from Lina to Machshava.
Does that mean you have
Kares? Kares over here, in other words, we're just talking about disqualification. Kares only comes about when you eat the carbon. Right, over here, eating Kares is, you know, that's not going to work. Anyway, fine. All right, but it sounds like, okay, and the Gemara ends the discussion abruptly, I should say. But it sounds like that there is a Machshava Psul when it comes to the Chafina. By Rav Papa. Okay. Top of Mem Ches Amud Beis. Chishev Bechatias Gecholem Mahu. What if the Kohen has a Machshava? So fine. So what do we establish? That there is a Machshava when it comes to the Chafina. That as the Kohen, Gadol, is taking his two hands and putting it into the Ketores, on Yom Kippur, and he says, I can't wait to burn this tomorrow, so that is a Machshavas Pigel, which would disqualify. Now the Gemara has a follow-up question. What if he has a Machshava during the shoveling of the coals? Remember, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is going to go with a pan of with a shovel, go up to the Mizbeach, and take coals from the top of the Mizbeach. And that's just simply for the purpose of burning. I mean, the Ketores needs to be burnt in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And as we already discussed now a number of times, he's going to be transporting the shovel into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where he's going to lay out the coals so that he can burn the Ketores on top of the coals. What if while doing the shoveling, he has a machshava? I'm going to burn it tomorrow. Is it going to become pasul? Now I said it. What psul are we talking about? So you take a look at Rashi. Rashi over here offers two explanations of what the Gemara is actually asking. Rashi's first explanation, you can take a look at the first Rashi on the Amud Beis. Chishev b'tchias gachalem ma'u lehafsil ha-ketores. It will be disqualification of the ketores. Now, right, let's read a little bit more in Rashi. Let me do it this way. Let me first read the Gemara. Sorry, I should have done it this way first. Let me first read the Gemara, and then I'll go back and I'll read the Rashi's, because you'll see Rashi's going to offer a second shot. So again, Rav Papa asked the following question. Tampa mem chesam and alf. Chishev b'chatias gachalem, while shoveling the coals off the top of the Mizbeach, so the Kohen Gadol was thinking to himself, I'm going to burn it tomorrow. And he says it. He actually articulates it. Machshirei mitzvah kim mitzvah damo, olo. Now, this is not the Ketores. This is a machshir. This is just a hechi timtza. This is a way that I'm going to burn the Ketores. I need the fuel. Without the fuel, I can't burn the Ketores. So, but this is not the actual Ketores itself. So, by Ketores, we said, it is subject to machshava. Are we going to extend that psul to the coals as well, to the machshir? That's the Gemara's question, Teku. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Okay, now, Okay, ignore what I said like 2 minutes ago. Don't ignore it, but now let's do the Rashis. So Rashi says over here again, Pshat number one in Rashi. Chishev b'chatias gachal ma'ul hafzil ha-ketores. Rashi says that we're not really discussing the disqualification of the coals, meaning it's coals. What are we talking about? Meaning that through having a machshava of the coals, it will be disqualification of the ketores. So that's the Gemara's question, according to the first pshat of Rashi. Now we can take a look at the next Rashi, Kemitzvah Dami. V'havelei kemechashev ba'avoda. And it's like I'm having a machshava to avoda. Meaning the machshava that I'm having here with the coals can be transferred to as if I were having that machshava during the chafina as well. That is one pshat in Rashi, lashon acher. Rashi says, maybe we could offer another pshat in the Gemara. Chisha b'chatiyas gachal ma'ashi yivsu gachalim b'machshava zu. Maybe we're actually talking about the disqualification of coals. Now again, coals is wood. They're wood chips. It's not, in other words, it's not what I'm doing the avoda with. It's just simply a method of doing the avoda. It's a machshir. Malahakter aleihem. So and maybe what the Gemara therefore is asking is, maybe if I had a machshava while doing these coals, I'm going to need new coals. Meaning the ketores will still be fine, but I'm going to have to replace these coals with new coals as these coals themselves become disqualified. Now, can we really have a conversation about a disqualification of coals? So Rashi in the second pshat will argue, we can do that. Look at the continuation of Rashi. Lina shamin depasabuhu mi depasal tful yom kidna la'el miyuhami ba'ilan iyavi chati asana avoda limifso ba'machshava. Look, Rashi says, go back to the bottom of Amud Aleph, of today's daf. What do we learn in today's daf? Kitaris, Livona, and Gachalim, that is touched by a tful yom, is subject to becoming disqualified.
It's on the same vessel,
so, right. Meaning, but at least you see that we can at least have a conversation about coals becoming disqualified. So now Rashi explains over here, that's right, that's exactly correct. Meaning that's when I'm doing an avoda. The question over here now, says Rashi in the second pshat, is that when I'm shoveling the coals off the top of the mizbeach, is this an avoda activity, or is it just a preparatory activity towards an avoda? Meaning, yes, coals can become disqualified. The only question now is, when I'm shoveling, is this an avoda process, or is this a preparatory act, a machshir? That's the Gemara's question. Teku, okay, another time, the Gemara leaves it unresolved. We'll do one more question for today. By my name, Rav Sheshet, Halacha B'Smol Mahu. Okay, at least here, we will answer. Halacha B'Smol, okay? We're back to an animal. I know so many topics we're covering today. We're covering the Kemitzah of a Mincha, we're talking about the Chafina of the Ketores and Yom Kippur, and now we're back to an animal. Now, Halacha. Kolach is the third avoda, right? As we discussed in the beginning of today's daf, every carbon has four avodas to it: shechita, kabbalas adam, holacha, and zrika. We're now describing holacha. Now, all the other actions have to be done with the right hand. Shechita has to be done with the right hand. End of discussion. Kabbalas adam has to be done with the right hand. End of discussion. Zrika has to be done with the right hand. End of discussion. What about holacha?
But the premise is always that a coin is left-handed.
Right, so we're not discussing left-handed Kohen. We're talking about the righty who decides that he's going to do it with his left hand. Now, why is the Gemara entertaining the question regarding halacha and not in other words, it's a davar pashut that shechita and zrika and kabbalah. I did that out of order. Shechita, kabbalah, skip halacha, and zrika all have to be done with the right hand, and the Gemara is not even entertaining any discussion over there. So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi says, Halacha b'smol ma'u, Halacha z'adam yibayelei kabbalah v'zrika d'chsibuhu kuhuna. Now when it comes to kabbalah, when it comes to zrika, so the Torah says, I need a kohen. Okay? A kohen by definition is right, like what you said. So pshita lan d'chol makam sh'nemar etzba v'kuhuna eino ala yamin. So the Torah says etzba, the Torah says kuhuna, has to be the right. Ava holacha lo ksiv behedja. Umid afke rachmana la kabbalah balashan holacha, detanya vihikrivu zu kabbalah adam. Nafka lam mesechas chagiga shi avoda, umi u small ikala memer del apostle, da halo ksiv behu kuhuna behedja. The Torah never states explicitly by holacha that I need a kohen. Meaning holacha, as opposed to the other three avodas, holacha is really more a pragmatic issue.
Could be
I need, right, I need the blood to get from the animal to the Mizbeach. Lu Yitzu, if we were to shech the animal right by the Mizbeach, so then I don't have to say, oh, but we need halacha. So let's do a hakaf around the Mizbeach. Okay, good. Now, right, even though we're back to where we started. Okay, now let's do Zrikas Adam. Halacha is not absolutely required. It's just, it is a necessary component just to simply get from point A to point B. So, and the Torah never describes, and you need a kohen to do halacha. So now the Gemara is entertaining the question. When it comes to halacha, would it be okay if the kohen took the bull in his left hand and walked over to the Mizbeach? Question asked, answer, Amar Rav Sheshet Tenisua. So the answer by Rav Sheshet is, I think I know the answer. So look at Yom Kippur, what happens with the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? He's taking the coals of fire in his right hand, and he's taking the spoon in his left hand. And so what is that telling us? Sounds like it's okay.
But there's a mitzvah for him to do it like that.
Well, right. Okay, so stay tuned because you already right. You're okay. Good. So you already know what the Gemara is going with this. So the Gemara says, what about our Mishnah Tamid? Our Mishnah Tamid, when talking about the march of the Kohanim, right, the parade of Kohanim, bringing the limbs of the animal to the ramp, and then ultimately from the ramp onto the top of the Mizbech. We talked about this in the second parak of Yuma. So what happens? There are going to be some limbs that are going to be transported in the right hand, and some limbs that are going to be transported in the left hand. So doesn't that Mishnah and Talmud say it all? The Gemara says, no, it doesn't. Yeah, that's the marching of the limbs to the Mizbeach. Look, it's certainly temple service. But that's not the kapara. The kapara comes about through Zrikas Adam. And so the halacha that leads to Zrikas Adam, that could be a whole different halacha. That could be a more significant halacha. That could be a halacha that requires the right hand and not the left hand. But when we're talking about marching of the limbs to the top of the Mizbeach, to the ramp, to the top of the Mizbeach, that could be we could be more lax in that area simply because it's not a kapara. Av a halacha de ma'akev kapara, lo. So, but a halacha that is ma'akev kapara, so that's more significant, and that's why our Mishnah speaks more to the idea that I'm transporting the Ketores into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the left hand. All right, so that says it all, doesn't it? Mesve, top of Memtesamad Aleph. So the Gemara says, hold on one second. What about the following? Zar, Ve'onin, Shikur, Balmum, Bekabala, Uvaholacha, Uvizrika Pasol. If I have a non-Kohen, or a Kohen who is an Onin, lost one of the seven Krovim, and is doing the avoda on the day of loss. Shikur Kohen who's drunk. A Kohen who's a Baal Mum, a blemish Kohen. So on the acts of Kabbalah, on Holacha, on Zrika, is going to be disqualified. Why didn't the Mishnah mention Shchita? Because I can't do Shchita.
The Baal Mum Kohen is a left-handed Kohen.
Oh, wait, just one second. So Vizricha Pasol. V'chein Yoshev. And also, if a Kohen does any of these actions while sitting, also a disqualifier. V'chein small. And if the Kohen does any of these actions with his left hand, pasul. So, to our question was, what if the halacha's dam is done with the left hand? Is it good? So the Gemara offered a proof from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that if the cup full of Ketores, not if, the cup full of Ketores is brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Kohen Gadol's left hand. So the Gemara says, okay, that's good. That's a great Mishnah, but there's a Braisa. And the Braisa says unequivocally that if the Kohen does the halacha with his left hand, it's going to be disqualified. Tiyufta. So the Gemara says that is not problematic. That's a refutation. Meaning halacha cannot be done with the left hand. Okay, so what we are going to be left with today, and we'll continue tomorrow, is number one, what do we do with our Mishnah that talks about the spoon being transported with the left hand? We'll discuss that tomorrow. And also, this Braisa, Rav Sheshet didn't know this Braisa? And we're going to show tomorrow, he did know this Braisa. So if he knew this Braisa, so what was he asking?
The question is on the Ketores. How do you bring it?
Right, okay. Stay tuned to be continued.